I'm Barb. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June, I have to think about it, June 16th of this year. That'd be like, you know, a month and a half ago. And I hate saying that. But it, you know, my ego tells me all sorts of stuff, but that's my sobriety date. And I'm getting sober in Tampa, which is really weird. I didn't think I'd end up here. I qualified for Alcoholics Anonymous years and years ago, and I've been a member. But knowing that I'm an alcoholic and just being coming to AA isn't enough for me. It doesn't matter. It's like what I'm doing here. And that's why I'm here today with, you know, like 30-some days or whatever. But I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I am the second youngest of 8 kids. And it was a big, crazy family, and my parents were together, and it was awesome. You know, I was loud. I mean, you had to be loud to, like, kind of, you know, make your way through that family. But I was always, like, really sensitive. But the way I took out on my sensitivity was, like, I'd cry in my room, but then I'd kick you, you know? Like, I'd kick you, run away, and then, like, cry in my room. Like, that's just the way I was. You know, I remember throwing pool balls at my brother and stuff. And, you know, we just got, like, thrown around and beat up a lot, and there was no privacy. But it was fun. I just thought everyone had a big family and grew up that way. And, you know, I was a pretty good kid. And then puberty hit, and I don't know if it was combination of, like, puberty or, like, going into high school and seeing, like, older cute boys that, I don't know, I just picked up a drink and I wanted to party. I mean, the moment I drank, I blacked out right from the beginning. I was a blackout drinker. And the moment I drank, it just, everything changed, like, immediately. You know, it was, like, high school was just about, like, you know, we'd fall around the soccer players' legs in school and, like, you know, it was just about, like, going to keggers, you know. I was, like, a beer, you know, like, a keg stand kind of girl. And I actually got my first DWI when I was 16. It was on my 16th birthday. I stole my mom's car so I could go back to this party because I had a curfew, you know, but I'm 16, and my boyfriend's 18, and we know everything. And so I stole my mom's car. I went out. I got pulled over because my lights weren't on. And he was like, "Were you drinking?" And I'm like, you know, "No." And then he said something, and apparently he was going to let me go, but he said something to me, and then I just remember, like, me going off on him, and then he was like, "Cuff her," you know, because I, he was like, "Happy birthday," you know, and, and so I had to go to, like, the little Shorewood, where mile by mile, like, little white, kind of nice suburb, and I had to go to the little, like, Shorewood jail, and they took me home, and my parents just slammed the door, and they're like, "You're grounded for a month, and you can't see anyone," and at this point, I was already dating a guy who was such an alcoholic. I've heard people who have had to get their keys labeled. Well, he was one of those guys. His parents labeled his keys, like house key, car key. And so that was my boyfriend. And his younger sister was my best friend. And their parents drank a ton. And I'm like, my family was only like theirs. But he sent me a beer bong in the mail. That was my 16th birthday present, a beer bong with a picture of my face on it. And then he cut out pictures of different people's faces from magazines in case I forgot what, like, the public looked like. And I just couldn't wait to get out. And eventually I used to sneak out at night, and I'd come home, and my parents used to wait up for me, and then they got so sick of it that they would leave me little notes. They'd, like, have a piece of cardboard that would just say, "You're grounded again." Like, they stopped waiting up because I just kept doing it again and again and again. And I didn't care. You know, and then drinking got a little boring, so I did some other drugs, but, you know, whatever. I'm here in AA. I just love drinking. I just love partying. You know, I was just that girl. I was the one that was loud. I was the one that was, like, crying. I'd be, like, hitting on your boyfriend. I'd be passed on the side of, like, you know, the house. Or I'd be the one waking up the next morning where they were like, "Oh, Barb's, you know, had to pass out in her bathroom again." I'd be like, "Oh, sorry," you know, and, like, walk out. You know, there was almost, like, puke-covered clothes underneath my bed, and someone would tell me the story the next day. I mean, it was just like, you know, it was just so gross. I was just such a gross drunk, and I just loved it. you know, and after a while, like, the more pissed people got, the more I thought it was the ultimate, like, kind of screw you to society. I'm like, "You don't understand me." I remember this girl called me, like, a big, dirty hippie, because I had huge hair, and I used to wear, like, 2 flannels at one time, and I just stopped showering, and oh God. And she was like, "Oh, is driving by you guys?" She was like one of those girls. And I thought, look at all those dirty hippies over there. And then it's like, "Oh, it's just you." And I'm like, you know, like whatever, Shorewood, you know. And so I went to college. I couldn't wait to get away. And I went to the first place that would have me, and that was Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's also been referred to by my friends as the armpit of the country. They're like, what do you do here? I'm like, dude, you drink. And I did a lot of drugs. At this point, I was so, I was like such a lush that I'm just going to say something like, it kind of goes along with like my progression of like my illness, I think. I was so drunk in high school, and I kept trying to find like different combinations of stuff. It was like that kind of like a form of control, you know, whether it came with like, if I got a new boyfriend, maybe I wouldn't drink so much. If I, you know, I didn't really try any control. I'm lying. You know, I didn't do anything. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I dropped out of everything immediately. You know, I was like that commercial, like the, does your kid, you know, did they change friends and, you know, like lose their job and they don't care about anything anymore? And that was me, you know, that was totally me. So when I went to college, you know, I mean, there were things I said I would never do. And in the first week, like, you know, I'm like, we don't do hard drugs. You know, we don't do narcotics. I'm just a hippie that drinks. And we only do mushrooms and acid, pills if we're stealing it from parents, LSD, you know, like LSD and, like, you know, maybe something else. And then I'm just saying this because it's so ridiculous. In the first week I was there, I smoked crystal meth. Someone's like, do you want to smoke crystal meth? And I said, sure. And then we did. So it just, like, shows, like, where I was at. I mean, no standards. Like, I let anything happen. And, you know, and eventually, like, you know, that stuff got added into the mix, and I just bottomed out really quickly. And even the friends that were drinking, like, the handle jugs of whiskey with me were like, you're sick, you know? And this is my most disgusting story, and I say it because, like, I forget how disgusting I am. I'll, like, still see myself as, like, super hot, super cool. I always just want to be so cool and unaffected by life. Like, oh, you don't like me? Whatever. I don't care. And so there's this night. We're all sitting in this in our house, and I'm with, like, these other girls. And they all have dates, and I don't, because I've said it before, no one would have me at this point. And, like, no one would date me. At least, you know, or I was the secret girlfriend. You all know what that is, so... in daylight, it was like, I don't know her. I don't know her. I haven't had a beer yet. I really don't know her. So they're all sitting around with their boyfriends, and I was so drunk, I was like snoring and like farting on the couch. And they were like, oh God, there's so many of you knowing this. Okay. And they were like, go to your room. And, I went to my room, and it ended up, like, 6 months later, I'm just like, Mom and Dad, I've got a major problem with drugs and alcohol. And at this point, two other people in my family have already gone through this. I have a brother that's in AA that's been sober, like, I think 15 years at this point. And my sister had just done this. So they were like, all right, pack your stuff up and move home. Like, oh, Christ, it's another one. But I'm like, good, at least, like, you know, the road was paved. And I got home, and for the next, from... probably from like 20 to 24, I played the game of like, I can only drink. I can just do drugs. I can only drink. I can just do drugs. And they became like two separate worlds. I'm like, don't you ever tell me that I can't do all of them. And it was funny. I became really comfortable saying I was a drug addict, but the thought of being an alcoholic, usually it's like the other way around, but I was like, I am not an alcoholic. Like, no way. That's so gross, you know? And they're like, this is your fifth treatment. Like, what? You know, like, and I ended up going to, like, five different treatments, getting arrested. I don't know. All I can say is five different treatments. Like, it was bad. I mean, it was just in and out and in and out. And I was constantly playing the game. And the worse I felt, the more I thought, like, there's no solution for me. I'm going to die a number. You know, like, that's where I was at 24. I'm like, I'm going to die a number, a statistic. Like, they're going to have my senior year picture and being like, another girl falls tragic, you know, to blah, 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 you know, like, drugs and alcohol. And that was going to be it. And my parents were at their wit's end, you know. They used to pick me up from jail, and now they weren't picking me up anymore, you know. They had hope. Even my dad, who, like, I mean, I would come in just disgusting, and he would be like, oh, come on, honey, you know, you can do it. He was, like, the ultimate enabler. Like, just pick yourself up. You're beautiful and smart and capable. And my mom was like, you know, Charles, you're lying. And at 24, I went back to this treatment that I had just left 2 months earlier with someone that I used to use with. Like, we ran around. Me and the counselor were like he's like running around the table. He's like, don't go, Barb. I'm like, I'm going. You know, and we're like running around. He's like, what about your stuff? I'm like, I'll get it later. You know, and I ran out the door. And then a month later, I came back and he was like, so, I'll never forget the fingertips. What's different? And I just sat there for a second and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's different. And I freaked out. And he was like, well, that's a start. And they were really AA oriented. And so when I got out of there, they wanted me to stay there for 3 months. It was like someone saying, like, I don't know. Anyway, I stayed there for 3 months. And they're like, you need to go to a halfway house, which I did. I just got willingness, beaten into a state of, like, willingness. Is that what the big book says? So that's what I did. And when I came out, because I had, I mean, honestly, half of it was I had no friends and, like, no one wanted to hang out with me anymore. I just went to AA because I knew they would kind of be your friend there, whether or not, you know. Like, no one would, like, let me go anywhere. And I was jumping out of my skin. I mean, I was crawling out of my skin for the first year. I mean, I was just uncomfortable. I can't sit still. I'm always thinking about, like, later or earlier. I'm never in the present. And I don't know what it was. You guys were just so nice. You know, you're so nice, and you just scoop me up. Like, the women in Milwaukee just scoop me up. And they all, like, kind of laughed at me, and they'd seen me before, and they're like, you know, we've been waiting. And they just took me around. So it was amazing. And I stuck around for 8 years, actually. I didn't just stick around. Like, I did stuff. I really got involved. And then the more I got, the less I did. And then, actually, it wasn't 8 years. It was 7 years. So, and then at 7 years, I was kind of annoyed with AA. You know, like, everything superficially looked great. Like, I had sponsees, I chaired a meeting, like, a big one that was, like, cool. And I don't know. Like, I kept it really superficial, you know? I failed to enlarge my spiritual life. Like, I would work with my sponsees when I wanted to, you know? And they talk about, like, the layers of the onion. Like, I would just stay on kind of the surface. Like, the more I started to have to deal with, like, my selfishness, my fear in relationships, my money, I was like, uh-uh, you know, and I was done. You know, I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, I got a car, I've got a salary, I've got a little card for a restaurant that I work at. It says my name on it. Like, I'm really good. My boyfriend's sober, so, like, we're, like, doing a meeting every night. And, you know what I'm saying. I watch you guys. I'm new. I'm just watching all of you. So one night I was sick, and I was, like, physically ill, and I went to my mom's house, and I drank. And I'm like, God, that felt good. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sober. And my pride told me not to tell any of you. And I went to AA for a year, drinking and using. I went for a year. I mean, that's how sick I am. I drink and still go back to AA, because these are where my friends are. And I got sober again, and then I stayed sober for a year and a half. And about a year, this is the second time I got sober, I remember thinking, I worked so hard that I'm just going to take a step back, and everyone else is in a relationship in early sobriety, and they're doing all these crazy things, and they're staying sober. I'm like, maybe I can just have, like, a spiritual hard time right now and not drink. I was like, I'm going to, and I started obsessing on this one guy. Don't judge. And then I ended up drinking again. When I'm in pain, I drink. You know, my drinking is always there, and it was so bad. My dad died when I picked up again. He got sick. I had to go visit him at the hospital drunk, and he died. And then I got sober again because I had to. I'm like, I'm drinking, and now my dad died. And I remember just thinking, like, oh, my God, now I'm drinking. Life is still happening, and I have absolutely no spiritual basis and nothing to hold on to. This was in March. Oh, Dad. You know, and my sponsor at the time told me to make a ninth step amends to him, even though I had 2 weeks. Which was cool, and he forgave me, of course. But I was so angry, and I felt so far from AA, and I was trying to go, and I was dragging my feet, and I liked all of you, but when I sat in the meeting, my blood was boiling. I was just like, I can't, it's working for you guys, but it is so far from me. I'm like, I'm hopeless again. I'm like, it's not going to work. I should have been sober. I should have stayed sober. I don't get any more tries. You know, it's going to be this painful for the rest of my life, and everyone there was getting really tired, and I had some friends that moved down here, because only people in AA do this. They were like, come down here, Barbie, we love you, and if you want to try this again, you can just come down to Tampa. Just get on the plane and come. And I don't know, I can't believe I got in the plane. I mean, of course, she had to buy the ticket for me. But I got in the plane, and I started detoxing on the plane, and I came, and I fell on her couch, and I felt like crap for about a month. I'm acting like I've had all this sobriety. You know, like, I totally felt like crap, like, so long ago. And that was, like, yesterday. And I didn't know what was going to happen, and I hated it. And they made me, I had to go to a meeting every day, and I'm like, what is it with you people in these noon meetings? And then you go to a meeting again? Like, what's up with the meetings, you know? And I realized that I was, I'm just, I don't know. I've been around. I got a head full of AA, and I just have to shut my head because it is telling me all sorts of stuff, you know? I'm smart, but I'm not, you know, I'm not, there's no matter of intelligence in keeping sober, and I've shown that to myself, and I cannot compare my sobriety to yours, and it doesn't matter what you guys are doing, but it matters what I'm doing on a daily basis, and it's got to be all of this, and I got to stay way in the middle, and you ladies, oh my God, you know, so kind, I mean, even friends of mine in Milwaukee were getting, you know, tired, but I came down here, and I saw the same thing that I saw in Milwaukee the first day I ever walked in, where girls just smiled and laughed and said, uh-huh, as I was just like, I hate it here. I'm so angry, you know, and they all just laughed, and they said, you know, like, people still offered to sponsor me, and that's all I'm doing. I'm just coming around, and then you know what? That, like, pain was lifted, and now that I look back, I'm like, oh, my God, that pain was lifted, you know, and it was only, like, a month. I don't feel that crappy. I detox. That actual physical pain will go away. I really thought it wouldn't, even though I've done it a million times. It definitely gets worse out there, and I can't believe I made it back, and so that's what I'm doing. I'm, like, leaning. I got another chance, man, you know, and I can, you know, I just have another chance, and I can do things differently. I just can't do what's in my brain. I got to listen to what you guys are doing here. And so thanks for being examples and being nice and just having so many drunks here in Tampa. Thanks.